I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Brian Hartline is still here. Black shorts, black t-shirt, Ohio State gear all over. He is still the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. He is also the head coach at South Florida. Welcome to Snap Judgments. It is a Woody Wednesday, and basically right where Jeremy Birmingham and me, Austin Ward, are standing, the wide receivers broke it down after a Wednesday practice getting ready for Indiana on Saturday in the Big Ten Championship game. And it was, for a second, like everything was completely normal.
Felt like the old days before everything got twisted and turned upside down. It was a sign, at least. I mean, we're not going to talk about injuries because there was no news of any sort of re-injury or anything like that. But the receivers were out here still when we got in, which is a pretty good sign that things are still trending positively.
A change from the last couple weeks.
And so if you're looking for validation of what Ryan Day said on Tuesday about the improvement of Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith, that would be it. Ryan Day, after practice, grabbed Jeremiah Smith as he was walking off the field and said, "Jeremiah," and then they talked for a few minutes, and I don't know what it was about necessarily, but I have an idea that it involved a receiver in high school who hasn't signed a letter of intent / Big Ten scholarship offer, that maybe it'd be helpful for Ohio State's purposes if Jeremiah Smith and quarterback Julian Sain, who we did speak with tonight, got a little bit involved and got on the phone and said, "Hey, bud, everything's going to be fine here at Ohio State."
You can, I mean, not everybody follows every development in the recruiting world. Yeah. You're talking about
Chris Henry Jr., the country's number one ranked receiver recruit, still has not signed his Big Ten letter of financial agreements or aids or
contract,
whatever you want to call it. Yet, there's a lot of buzz percolating that Oregon is now moving into the lead because Ohio State's changes today. The Buckeyes, for their part, are really just saying, slow down. Like, number one, we have to practice today because Oregon isn't playing in the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State needed a couple extra hours. It's going to be an interesting couple of days. I still expect that Chris Henry will probably make a decision by the end of this week. The Buckeyes' goal is to say, this is where you wanted to be your whole life. You have the opportunity. This offense isn't changing. Brian Hartline leaving is not going to change fundamentally what your opportunities are at Ohio State. You are still the number one receiver in the country. Brian Hartline's job, what he's been really, really great at in the last handful of years, is eyeing talent and not necessarily always developing it, which maybe that's parsing things a little too much, or six of one, half dozen of the other. But everyone can see how talented Chris Henry Jr. is. Everyone knows what you're going to be able to get out of his 6'6", 220-pound frame. Like, this is a kid that you have to have. Ohio State is going to keep plugging away. The update I got tonight was pretty simple. If Chris decides to go somewhere else, we'll hit a couple home runs in the transfer portal. That's what I was told. So the Buckeyes have a plan, as always, but you just never know how it goes. They'd much rather sign Chris Henry Jr. than have to worry about the portal a month from now.
Yeah, and I think there are already indications of where Ohio State could potentially look in the transfer portal, because that's how fast the world is moving. Ryan Day had another lightning round, his second press conference of the day, and he kind of caught himself on that. Well, he was focused on beating Indiana. He wanted to talk about Indiana. He wanted to talk about winning the Big Ten championship game on Saturday. And a lot of the other questions were still continuing to be about Brian Hartline, with good reason, about indirectly, because Ryan Day can't comment on Chris Henry Jr., but about, you know, waiting for paperwork and all these other things. And he said it's crazy that he has to be talking and thinking about a coaching carousel spinning and National Signing Day, when this is number one versus number two on Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Lucas Oil Stadium, with a spot in the Rose Bowl on the line as well to go play for the college football playoff. The calendar's dumb, it's stupid, but there's nothing that Ohio State can do about it at this point but put one foot in front of the other. And I thought, you know, just watching Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate come off the field and the communication with Brian Hartline, like, when I say all that stuff was normal, in here it did. And they talk about, like, 10 yards from us, when they cross this red line, the scarlet line, that all that other stuff has to go away and you have to lock in on playing the game. I thought even after practice that from Ryan Day on down, the players that we talked to, Cade McDonald, Jalen McClain, Phillip Daniels, Kenyatta Jackson, Julian Sain, like, those guys, they weren't really talking about, you know, some of the outside noise that was going on. It was really direct and to the point. And that's what it has to be if this team wants to win on Saturday, which I'm going to say it again, they want to.
Yeah, they definitely want to. But again, the story of today is the Brian Hartline news and signing day. I want to, I think, I don't know if it's even something that people care about, but just gleaning a little bit of more information on timelines of how this all transpired. I was told by a couple people in here that the conversation between Brian Hartline and Ryan Day happened last night about midnight, which is when the Buckeyes were made aware of the opportunity for Brian. And at that point, I was told that people from Ohio State began to reach out to Chris Henry, who is notoriously difficult to contact. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't respond to anything at the time because he's on California time. And then Ohio State tried that again this morning while it was like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Columbus time, and that would mean it's 3 a.m. on the West Coast. Chris Henry was, of course, not available. I did hear that Ohio State was able to speak to his representatives at like 3 in the morning. So there was definitely conversation and communication. Ohio State, Ryan Day, the Buckeyes had a team meeting this morning, like bright and early. And so nobody here was surprised. And everyone, to a man, was like, hey, we're really happy for Brian Hartline. I don't think that's lip service. I think that's real. Julian Sain multiple times brought up how happy he is that Brian Hartline is getting opportunity to move up in his career and take the shot that he's been working towards. So it's not bitterness. There's no maybe there's frustration in the timing of how this all unfolded. But Brian Hartline's responsibility now is to South Florida as much as it is to Ohio State. And so if you want South Florida, if you're a South Florida Bulls fan tuning into Snap Judgments tonight.
What are you doing here?
The goal there is pretty simple. It is to make sure that Brian Hartline can let the recruits know that he's going to be in South Florida. And I have heard he was on the phone today with Chris Henry, still trying to talk to him about making sure that he follows through with his commitment and trying to go through the steps of this is how this happened. But it's certainly not going to make it easier for Buckeyes fans until Chris Henry makes a decision one way or the other.
Yeah, and when you say, you talked about Julian Sain and how happy he professed, you know, and publicly talking about it and praising Brian Hartline with the work that he's done. And for the current team, it's almost like you and I are having two separate conversations, mm-hmm. which is fine.
We are.
Because we were doing different things after practice tonight. But Julian Sain, when he's talking about how happy the offense was for their coordinator to get that job, for them, maybe to some extent, the Chris Henry Jr. conversation matters to Julian Sain, but he's in the midst of preparing to play the second-ranked defense in the country on Saturday night. So knowing that Brian Hartline is here, that he helped organize the practice script, that he was calling the plays, that he was in the headset, that mattered to them more in the present than thinking about the future conversation. Like, they can have that time another day. And, you know, that was true for Philip Daniels as well. You think about these guys on offense, like, Brian Hartline's here. He's committed to the process. Okay, cool. Let's go forward. Let's go win on Saturday night. Then we'll prepare for the Rose Bowl. If Brian Hartline shows up one day looking pretty tired, they might understand why. But as long as he crosses the red line the same as them and they're all fully focused on the same mission at that time, that's what matters to Ohio State more than anything. They, especially now, because when we talk about some of the difficulties that come with the calendar and the transfer portal era and NIL, I think there is a different level of appreciation from players who are – they're already in the business themselves.
Yeah.
And they know that the transfer portal exists. They know that roster movement exists. They know that players and coaches are both trying to do what's best for them. But once they are in here, and every indication I got was that Brian Hartline was here with both feet. And when we saw him in the circle breaking down the wide receivers, it wasn't like, let's let Devin Jordan do this. I gotta get out of here. That's not what happened. Yeah. So, you know, I think – this is going to continue to be a conversation throughout the month. Maybe it'll feel more normal in a week's time and not the very first day that it happens that Brian Hartline is leaving. But that's up now, from this moment on, that's up to Brian Hartline to determine that, because we know that it worked in 2014 with Tom Herman. We know I know firsthand how difficult it was for Luke Fickell a couple of years later to split that time. There's not going to be a lot of opportunity for sleep. And the second, which I thought was the most telling thing that Ryan Day said in either press conference today, was, we're going to monitor how this looks like, you know, if you have to change the way that they've structured the game planning, preparation throughout the week, or even potentially in headset game calling on Saturdays or whatever day that the playoff games are. That has to be at least in the back of their mind, because this is what those two guys did a decade ago is very different now with three games and a Big Ten championship game on Saturday. So, you know, this thing is going to continue to be a topic of conversation.
Yeah, and the conversation will change, though, as you mentioned, because today it's about fallout, right? Like, today it's like, okay, what else can happen because of this? Next week, it's going to be about how do you prepare for the team you're playing down the road. if, you know, any conversation people will have, and we talked about it a little bit on tomorrow morning's edition of The Beat, which you'll see tomorrow morning, because that's why it's tomorrow morning's Beat. If there's any worry about Brian Hartline being distracted or splitting loyalties or splitting up his time in these next couple of days, I just don't buy it, because bottom line, for Brian Hartline, the best chance to do what he needs to do for South Florida is to make sure that Ohio State has 2 weeks off after Indiana on Saturday night. So I think it behooves him to go all in to everything Ohio State related over these next 4 days, 3 days, to make sure that he's going to be able to get down to Tampa and do the things he needs to do on what will eventually be or a quasi off week for Ohio State. So it does actually serve as a little bit of a reminder, like, hey, take care of business first and then you can take care of business. So it's going to be a conversation. We did hear from someone who's obviously going to be close to the situation when it comes to replacing Brian Hartline. And the response was, we are not worried about that right now. Like, that is not going to happen. Obviously, there will be discussions about big boards and who can be the OC and who's going to take over wide receivers. None of that stuff is going to really matter for Ohio State until we get to the end of the season. And I think that when you talk to guys like Julian Sain, when you talk to even Caden McDonald tonight, talking about how the relationship that he has now is so different than the relationship he had with the former defensive coordinator, Julian Sain is at the end of his second season at Ohio State. He's had two offensive coordinators. He's going to have a third in 3 years. I think there's an understanding anymore in this building that everyone wants a piece of Ohio State. Everyone wants a piece of what Ohio State's success is. And so when you get to the point that your program is at the top of the mountain, every other program is pulling and trying to find little secrets. And, oh, well, if Ohio State did this, we should do this. So I don't think it bothers people here on a personal level anymore. I think you'd obviously prefer that all of these things didn't have to happen until the end of the season, but that's just not real life. And Ryan Day and the rest of the Buckeyes, including Brian Hartline, just have to adapt.
Yeah, they will.
What else did you hear?
There was also some business being taken care of. This will probably be the last Woody Wednesday of the year, as a matter of fact, because the schedule will be different for the college football playoff. But Tiger Shibola, again, I cannot sing his praises enough. I mentioned him on the live show on Monday, gave him some Buckeye leaves for elevating his play, and talked to him and Philip Daniels. Well, Tiger Shibola and Ethan Onyema, last two guys off the practice field, still working, still grinding. Tiger Shibola, kudos to him for taking that step forward. And I also talked to Philip Daniels, who we didn't really include in that same conversation. He was a maniac just walking into the Big House on Saturday, and then that of everybody we mentioned, like, oh, we talked to Luke Montgomery and Austin Saravold after the game. We know we talked to Carson Hensman, praised Tiger Shibola. Philip Daniels should not be excluded from that conversation. And I must apologize if we did, because that murderous look that you can get from Philip Daniels will knock you stone dead. And I went up and I said, is that normal for you just to walk into a game like with that mentality? Is a little bit different for the rivalry, but there's a lot of factors at play. You know, he grew up understanding what this rivalry meant. He was ready to be part of that. He got fully locked in. And when I call it a murderous look, he also said the thing that he loves about playing offensive line and playing right tackle in a game like that is that he can go out there and try and murder somebody on the field. I didn't think that he meant that literally, but maybe he does.
Maybe.
But the other part of that,
if it happens, it happens.
It's,
you didn't do it on purpose.
If it's during the game, I don't think that, you know, they arrest you for that.
Right.
So maybe you have a license. I'm not a legal expert.
I'm saying if it happens, it happens. It's not intentional.
If he dies,
like you're just playing the game. Right.
But there was a thing.
It's all about the game.
And how you play it. And if there are rules. And if you can break it. We talked about him missing the Purdue game.
Yeah.
He went through that rough stretch in October. We were talking about the offensive line, and it didn't become just a Tiger Shibola conversation. At one point, it looped in Philip Daniels as well. And so I said, did you need to miss that game, and how long had you been dealing with that? Because he has been a different player since then. There's like no question about that. And he said, that had been going on for a while, like almost since the Texas game, that he was dealing with that injury, and that he felt like he was just blocking guys one-legged. That's pretty good with one leg, but he is now on the other side of that, rejuvenated, rested, recovered, playing at a very high level, and they're going to need that again, Berm, on Saturday against Indiana, because you know, I know you've been looking a lot at their defensive line and the physical attributes, the success they've had. That this is the number two ranked defense in the country. They have talent up front. They have success up front. The offensive line for Ohio State's going to have to be on point.
Yeah, I think that is a thing that people are going to overlook, because all of the conversation about Indiana, at least most of the conversation about Indiana, has been about Fernando Mendoza. It's been about the offense. It's been about the Heisman battle. And it's not really looking at the Indiana defense. I think two things are important here. Number one, Ohio State's defense knows that where Indiana is ranked compared to where they are.
Yeah.
And they will take that as a personal challenge. But also the offense in Ohio State, we've seen this in the last few years. And I think one of the unfortunate byproducts of the news of Wednesday is that there's not a lot of talk about the Indiana defense and about the Indiana team, because this Buckeye team, and it goes back to last year's playoff run, seems to really enjoy being told how good their opponents are. And being told, like, well, are you guys sure you can handle this? Are you sure that you're able to be as physical as Texas? Are you sure that you can handle Notre Dame's offensive line up front for the whole time? Are you sure that you can maintain Oregon's speed? Or can your offense outrun Oregon's speed? Oh, yeah, they can do all that. So, like, I think that you're looking at a team that really wants to be told that they can't do something. Maybe that's just the memory of last year, and this year's team is different. They're emotionally different. They're emotionally different, but you talk to Julian Sain, you ask him about, hey, what is this offense? What does this defense do to you? And he's like, well, they look pretty good. But I asked him, I said, have you ever spoken to Fernando Mendoza? Because you guys are both robots, and I don't know if you speak in like binary language mm-hmm. to one another and yeah. via the internet or something. And he said they've never had a conversation.
Well, yeah, because they're robots.
Robots can't talk to each other. They only talk to their ownership.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. That's how we robots work.
God, didn't.
To this point.
Didn't know.
To this point.
Okay.
Okay. Once they start talking to each other, folks, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Let's hope that doesn't happen before Saturday, because I'd like to see this matchup between these robot quarterbacks and have both defenses healthy, both defenses ready to rock and roll. It's going to be an incredible game, and it does feel bad to me that, like, there's not really enough conversation. It's number one versus number two. There's two teams that are undefeated in the entire country. And it's Ohio State and Indiana, who are ranked number one and number two, and no one seems to care.
I'm trying to get you to care.
I care. I care.
I think we need to get past Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday's over.
You know, we'll transition a little bit more into the game on a Three Thoughts Thursday on the beat, brought to you by the Waterworks now. Then we'll have bold predictions and a mailbag, by the way.
We'll have a mailbag and then a bold prediction.
They're both going to be on Friday. Mailbag in the morning. TheAustinAndBurnhamShow@gmail.com if you'd like to get some questions in. And then by the time we get to Lucas Oil Stadium to make some bold predictions, think we're going to have Adam King join us. Like, then you'll be fully ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready now. I don't want to talk about who's not playing at Ohio State yet. Okay. Like, which I know is sort of self-defeating, considering that's my primary job. But the guys that are in this building, the team that has been playing these games every week for Ohio State, they deserve the attention. And whatever happens with Chris Henry and Jerquaden Guilford, the other wide receiver that Brian Hartline had committed who has not signed yet, doesn't really matter, because Ohio State
doesn't impact the game
is going to be fine. And they're always going to be fine, because that's what Ohio State does.
And they have the best defensive lineman in the Big Ten, a potential Outland Trophy winner, who is so confident right now that he is out here wearing Sully Monsters, Inc. slippers.
Yeah.
After practice.
Just
about the coolest things you've ever going to see in your life.
I asked him if he had any thought about seeing if EQ could put spikes on the bottom of those and just have him wear those as his cleats on Saturday. Yeah. And he's like, well, no, because my toes are exposed. I'm like, that's true. You probably get stepped on. So then we decided that maybe he'll just remove the horns from the slippers and put them on his shoes.
Okay. I'm not sure that's allowed, but
whatever. I want to call out Caden, because everyone knows how much we like Edric Houston and his big personality. Caden has always been great with us. He came up, he pulled me aside as he was walking off today, and obviously being named a Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year, all of the conversation about the Lombardi and everything else, and he said,
Outland,
I apologize, he said, I remember being a freshman and you told me I was going to do these things. And I'm like, man, thanks, Caden. You made me feel good. There are still really beautiful relationships in this sport that is turning into nothing but a money grab, but like, it is nice when kids understand that, like, this opportunity before them is really special. And Caden McDonald gave a ton of praise tonight to Larry Johnson for believing in him when he was coming out of high school in North Gwinnett in Georgia.
Yep.
While the Georgia Bulldogs, who were at that time the country's most dominant and fierce defensive line, said he was too small and wasn't going to be able to be a defensive tackle for them. Well, thank you.
Now he's the employee of the month at Monsters, Inc. So yep. Who's laughing now?
Who's laughing now, Kirby Smart? Yes, yeah. Kirby Dumb. Should have recruited Cade McDonald, Kirby Dumb.
Also, the way that the rest of their his teammates, Cade McDonald's teammates and the Rushmen are looking at this game and the opportunity for him, the way they talk about him and the way he's played, like, you can tell how much it means to the collective room. Larry Johnson as well, like, fantastic job. I think you might hear me say it in the future. I'm going to say it again right now in the present. Like, I think this is the best coaching job that Larry Johnson has done at Ohio State.
100%. We said it back in March that this was going to be the most challenging job he's ever had. And he has absolutely crushed it this season. And it's obviously starts in the middle with Caden, but like, then it's Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson and what they've accomplished. Larry Johnson,
KJ said, Kenyon Jackson said, they haven't accomplished anything yet. The job is not done, Berm.
Okay, fair. But we can say they've accomplished things because this season has been an absolute masterpiece, masterclass by Larry Johnson 100%. And that defensive line. So kudos to him. But as they said, it's not over. They got a big one coming up.
They're still just a bunch of nobodies, which is hard to believe because Ohio State has the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year, the Big Ten Linebacker of the Year, and the Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year, who's also the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, Cade McDonald, and then a whole litany of all-conference performers. They're going to be put to the test because that Indiana offense, they're both sides of the football, is going to be a test. It's going to be an awesome game. It's number one versus number two, and this Wednesday practice is in the books, which means we're over halfway there Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Can't wait to get over there to Indianapolis, but we're not done with coverage in Columbus yet. We're just done in the Woody. Because this Wednesday night is over. Thanks for joining us for Snap Judgments. He is Berm. I am Austin. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.